I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
New open there. What do you think, Laura?
I love it.
I like our new big voice guy.
We learned a little bit about him in our morning meeting today.
Oh, really?
He has quite a history, yes. I'm forgetting his name now, of course. But do you remember, like, the documentary-style Green Bay Packers on
Oh, yes,
that
yes.
That was him.
NFL Films?
That was him, yes.
He's that same guy.
He was on David Letterman years ago in a funny thing you can find on YouTube.
Oh, John Facenda.
No, it's not John Facenda.
No. He's dead. He died in 1984. That'd be quite something, wouldn't it?
No, I think it's great. And, you know, it takes some getting used to for people who don't like change.
Yes,
but I think it's
sure.
Wonderful. You got to freshen things up.
Texter says the new opening is 95% better than the old one.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, and the old one, we've been rocking with that for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I love change.
Me too.
And sometimes I think, sometimes you need to change just to change. You're mm-hmm. not mad about what it was before, but
right.
like, I don't know.
You want to freshen it up. That's
yes.
all it is.
Yeah. Now, for the rest of the show, could we fix that? It's not as easy as just hiring a new big voice guy, right?
It's always evolving, isn't it?
That's pretty good. Thanks, Laura. Appreciate that. We'll figure out the guy's name. Laura is telling stories like I tell stories usually. Like, oh, we had this good
conversation. Without any details? Yeah.
Oh, it's good to be with you on a very hot Monday. My goodness, I spent the morning out on a golf course. Which I'm not saying that as a brag. I don't know where you guys are on, like, the charity golf outing. The charity golf outing, there's a certain subset of the world that part of your life, part of the work world, is that you go to charity golf outings. And I don't know how to golf. I don't know how to golf. So I have a good friend who also, and now this guy is like a business big shot, and he also doesn't really know how to golf. But as he's like moved up in the business world, he's like, I guess I have to learn how to golf, right? Because this is part of the deal. But I was out there at this absolutely beautiful golf course in Prior Lake, doing some stuff for this charity that a home remodeler that I work with, they created a charity and they have a charity golf outing. It's called Custom One, and they do this golf outing. And it was really great. But on my drive to Prior Lake, something happened to me on the highway that absolutely floored me, straight up astonished me. I'm driving on 694. It is 8:30 in the morning. I'm listening to Vanita interviewing Dan Hayes about the Byron Buxton running the cycle. And as I'm driving, a guy in a pickup truck signals left. I'm in the left lane. He's in the middle lane. And just starts moving over, and I'm right there. So I honk the horn. And Dan, I know, like, when it comes to honking the horn, you're hesitant.
When it comes to honking the horn, this is exactly the situation you should be honking the horn in, when somebody clearly doesn't see you, and you're alerting them to your presence. The problem is, we all lay on the horn 50,000 other times, and so when somebody hears the horn, that's not their first thought.
So I did a...
But I digress.
Like a quick three, like trying to signal with the horn, stop it. And...
Please don't merge into me, sir.
Please don't merge into me. And I worry about it right now because when you honk the horn or when you drive around, you look and like, how many people have earbuds in while they're in their cars? And I'm like, I hope they can hear, right? You got noise canceling or whatever when I put my earbuds... What are they called? AirPods?
AirPods. Or earbuds. Or you can just combine them into AirBuds. Whatever you want to do.
So this guy almost, boom,
yeah,
slams into me. But he heard the horn, he moved, and what he did next, 0% chance I saw it coming. He rolled down his window, sort of waved, slowed down for me to catch up to him, and was like being incredibly apologetic.
My bad.
I could not believe that it happened because I'm, especially with the construction going on, I feel like people on the roads are being maniacs. And seeing someone actually be like, whoa, I'm so sorry. It was, I just was floored by it. I would love to hear if you have a tale of like decency, kindness, quality behavior on the road. 651-461-9226. Because early on a Monday morning, I'm driving to Prior Lake. I'm not really that thrilled that I'm up at 8 in the morning driving to this golf. I wasn't going to golf. I was going to work a little bit. And it just put me in a great mood. An absolute great nude. Because not great nude. Jeez. That's a different show altogether.
What kind of golf tournament was this?
It's a different show. It's so unusual. And I feel like drivers have been like, I don't know what you felt this weekend driving around, but there were a couple of times this weekend on the road, there was a guy in a car who I thought he was taking advantage of the new motorcycle law where you can kind of weave in and out of the lane.
Yeah.
And this dude, like, he was it wasn't a quick get to the right lane, get to the left lane. It was straight up weaving through. You're like, my God, I'm going to be killed.
Carefully observing the speed limit, too, I'm sure.
Poof. Just amazing. Absolutely amazing. For me, it was great. Like, it is, and I think about this because we're all a little on edge on the roads, right? We are nervous to honk because what if somebody loses it? And not that I think we always need to be worried about, like, oh, road rage could rear its head or whatever. I don't think that's a realistic thing to always be worried about, but it is something I think about. Like, oh, what do I do if I honk the horn and this guy does something and then now, right? And the same is with if I screw up, like sometimes I've screwed up on the road and you're like, how do I communicate my bad?
I think you're doing it. That's what I do.
What this guy did, I thought was great.
You know, hold up the hands like, hey, sorry.
I did that to someone before, and let's just say they were not accepting my apology.
Well, like, I mean,
was like a full-on rager by that guy, and I was wrong, but then it was like, let's not escalate the situation. Let's go to Steve and Hugo on the CCO Talk and Text line, 651-461-9226. Steve, it's people in your part of the state. It was a nice interaction on the road today.
Yeah, that is a great story, Jason. I had a very similar one up in Lionel Lakes when I was coming off of 35W, getting on to County Road J, and I'm going to take a right-hand turn.
Yep.
And this guy in the pickup truck pulls up behind me, and I'm waiting for the red light. I got a red light, and it says no turn on red. And I'm like waiting there because I'm not turning.
Right.
And he starts laying on the horn and laying on. He's like getting so angry at me, and I'm like, I'm 2 seconds from just like, what the heck? What's going on? And all of a sudden, I just roll my window down. I point it up at the sign, and he just like, oh, that look, right? You can I give my rear view and that look. And I turn, he catches up to me, rolls his window down, and he was like, ah, dude, I am so sorry. And I go, no problem. But, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
That's cool. That is cool. Did you have a moment when he rolled his window down that you thought it might be going in a different direction?
And I know when I pointed at the no turn on red sign and he looks up and sees it, it was like that, you know, that blank expression where his lips kind of go, oh, you know, right away he got it. And he was just like, put his head down.
Yeah, that's so good. But, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening to 651-461-9226. Love to hear more of those stories as we continue. Monday, it is Drive Time with DeRusha. Just a nice little moment today. I mean, obviously, having somebody almost crash into me is not ideal.
No, but the fact that they didn't, yeah, you know, means the story has a happy ending.
That's
we
right.
Go back to Steve's call for just a moment because I do want to ask this question.
Sure.
How much road rage would be eliminated if there was no such thing as a no turn on red sign? Because I think,
yeah,
how many of us can identify with the fact that you have that sign there and the person behind you can't see it
they
because of the placement,
yep,
or just hasn't seen it and is assuming that you can be turning right and you're not, and they're explaining what they think of your driving skills in no uncertain terms.
It's true.
You're just trying to obey the law.
Had a friend at work who told me about somebody cutting them off. My friend honked to let him know he was there. Friend made a turn, another turn, and noticed the car following him. Pulled in the Home Depot parking lot. The car pulls up in front of him. Now, you at this point in this story, I'm very concerned about how this is going to end up. Window down and says, totally my fault. I didn't see you. I'm so sorry. Unexpected, but restored a little faith in humanity, says the texter. Now, I would be nervous to do that, to follow someone and apologize. Because I would be worried that they would think I'm there to kill them.
That you're there to rage at them, yeah.
Right. It is a hard thing. Like, something different happens to us behind the wheel of the car. And there's something about, and I notice it in myself. You work with me every day.
I do.
On a,
would you take some vacation, okay, please?
On a 1 to 10, if you were to, like, where would you rank my, like, temper or hot-headedness?
Oh, I mean, you're like a 2 or a 3. You're very, very chill. It takes a lot to get you really going.
Sometimes I'll be like a little short, but...
Yeah, but that's not...
Even
but,
that is very rare.
Yeah, no, that's... But put you behind
car,
the wheel.
Yeah, I feel a little more like...
Do you think it's
a little more angry?
Is it the anonymity of it? Right, like we talk about this all the time on the internet, that people will say just outrageous, ridiculous, crazy, insane things because there's no personal responsibility of it. If you're sitting in the car behind the wheel and you're just, you know, cursing one way and up another, well, there's no consequence to that because you're just venting, right?
Yeah.
It's when that anger translates into your driving, now we have the problem. But if you're just, you know, popping off.
I think the psychology of it is interesting. I think there's something, there's an unusual space of being in a car that it makes you feel like you're on some sort of independent island where it's very, the anonymity may be part of it. Now, texter says, 3 tabs on the horn and I should have dropped back and let him make his lane change. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's all, you know, what whenever I'm on the road and I see somebody doing something a little unexpected, I want to back out and give them room.
It's like, yeah, I'm not going to be one of those people. You know, you have people.
I'm not the warrior here trying to be the blocker.
Well, that's just it. You know,
whatever.
People that will try to, you know, merge into your lane if you've given, you know, a car length and a half. So there's not really room to be making that merge.
Right.
But they're just going to duck in there anyway. And you see them coming and they're going to make that move. I'm not the guy that's going to then speed up and try to shrink that distance.
Like 9 times out of 10, I'm not that guy.
Well, I suppose that's probably, you're probably right to qualify.
But every once in a while, you're like,
but for the most part, because it's just, it's not worth as righteous as you feel for them making what you think is a dumb move.
Yeah.
It's not worth risking the accident for it.
No.
Or, you know, and again, we're a carry state, open carry state. So you don't know who's carrying and who's not carrying in this day and age. So it just isn't worth it.
Another texter says, I wish I found all these people that realized that what they did was wrong and apologize. Y'all making it up.
I mean.
Well, that's why I'm like, I need to talk about this today because it was so surprising. I just did not expect it. And indeed, in life, in general, it would be amazing to have more people say like, oh, I screwed that up. I say that I screwed that up probably too much. But like we're doing so much here. Like we're bound to screw stuff.
Because I'm not sure you can say it too much. I understand what you're saying by saying it that way, but it's a lesson that I learned here in this job very early on in my career is that even if it isn't a thing, isn't your fault directly, just, you know, if somebody's upset, just, I'm sorry, it won't happen again. And it tends to just quash everything. Rather than trying to sit there, well, okay, except that there's this thing, and then there's this thing, and then there's this circumstance, and, you know, then this person did that, and, you know,
yeah.
Just, you know what, just squash the whole thing. I'm sorry, it won't happen again.
I tried to teach my brother that when it came to, like, getting in trouble with our parents.
How'd that work out for you? Or for him?
I mean, it worked out great for me.
I was going to say.
When you screw up, even if you don't screw up, if you immediately own it and apologize... Well, what's your mom going to say then?
Exactly.
Like it throws them off.
Everything.
It throws them off. UGEL may be right. Road rage is your desire to win at traffic. You're sort of pooped on all day. You want to win something.
There might be something to that.
That may be right. Yeah. That may be right. Another texter says Minnesota drivers are literally the most incompetent drivers on the planet.
Literally.
They would never apologize. I got tailgated on two lane roads with nowhere to go. Nobody can zipper merge. It's ridiculous. These people don't exist. I got lucky. Well, maybe true. Again, this is why I'm so astonished. Now, some are suggesting that the pickup driver knew who I was. I would say, I mean, I do have a vanity license plate that says DeRussia on it, and the car is kind of decaled up with the show logo.
Ah,
so
okay,
it's possible. It's oh gosh, very good. 3:31. When we come back, it is a crisis outside of the metro area. Having enough doctors to take care of people in parts of the state we call rural, there's work going on right now to get more doctors who want to take care of more Minnesotans. Really interesting approach. We're going to talk about that when we come back in just a minute on Drive Time.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a major challenge in our rural areas in greater Minnesota. We just don't have enough doctors. As we've seen the population shift a little bit anyway, more growth out there, but we have more physicians retiring. There's a shortage that really has a major ripple effect, because if you don't have enough quality doctors, you're never going to be able to attract people to live in St. Cloud and Duluth and all different parts of Minnesota. But right now, there is a new medical school in St. Cloud. The first new medical school, let's bring in Dr. Jill Amsbary, who is a pediatrician and the assistant dean at this new medical school at the CentraCare location. It's a part of the University of Minnesota. Jill, it's good to visit with you.
Yeah, great to visit with you. Thank you so much for having me today.
So exciting that we're really taking this issue seriously, because this is something that I think in the medical community and in the economic development area, all over this state, we've been talking about this shortage for quite some time, haven't we?
That's right. Yeah, we have. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk and some action, but the build of this new regional campus really brings together all of those things and creates something objective that we can do to try to help with these challenges.
So tell us, you've had, well, when did this officially open?
Yeah, so our first class begins in just a few weeks. They will start orientation on August 18th.
And how's it going? Like, how many people, what kind of interest was there?
Oh, man, it has been such an incredible project to be a part of. So, you know, the vision for this project began many years prior with the collaboration between Ken Holman, the CEO of CentraCare, and Dean Toler, the Dean of the University of Minnesota Medical School. And so to see us at a place now where we actually get to welcome our students into this building that I'm sitting in now, that is very real, so that they can learn from the expertise of the University of Minnesota Medical School in the region where they want to learn, train, and eventually work. It's really exciting. We have been so fortunate in that we had, you know, well, thousands of applications coming to the University of Minnesota. And we were able to bring in 24 incredible, bright Minnesota residents to our campus as part of our first class. And all of these students have demonstrated a commitment to rural health and a real mission to serve our region.
What, you know, when you were in medical school, what made you say, you know, I want to be out of the metro area? I want to be in a more, I don't think a St. Cloud is rural exactly, but, you know, technically perhaps it is. What drove you?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So, you know, I'm from North Dakota, and my great-great-grandfather founded a small town in North Dakota where my parents were raised and many of my family still live. So I have had a passion for rural for a long time. And we traveled around. I went to medical school in Arizona and did my residency at the University of Iowa. And we always knew we wanted to come back to Minnesota. My husband is a small town Minnesota boy. And we also knew that we didn't want to live in an urban center. Now, at the same time, I was a pediatrician. And so I was coming straight out of residency and was hesitant to go to a rural setting where there were no other pediatricians. So this was as kind of close to the in-between as we could find. And, you know, what I've found as a pediatrician over the last 14 years in working here in St. Cloud is when I first started here, you know, the population that I took care of was largely from the St. Cloud area. But over the last decade, I have seen this incredible expansion of geography for the patients that I'm taking care of. With the rural shortages, you know, people are driving 2 to 3 hours now to come and see me as their pediatrician.
Wow, that is staggering.
Yeah. So I, you know, I've always had an interest in medical education, and boy, this is just a great way for me personally to blend those two passions together.
Dr. Jill Amsbary is with us, Assistant Dean of the University of Minnesota Medical School, that has the first new medical school in 50 years here, or medical campus at least, here in Minnesota. You know, I've read that nationally the rural physician shortage in 5 years, we'll be looking at about a shortage of 80,000 physicians. And we've seen some of the ramifications of that, as, you know, we've seen, you know, OBGYN availability, kind of birth centers have been closing in greater Minnesota. Hospitals, I think, are on they're on thin ice in greater Minnesota, and the financial situation. And all of this, really, you're never going to be able to solve any of these problems if you don't have enough people willing to work there. It's a different environment. You have to teach different skills for people who are going to be in greater Minnesota.
Yeah, that's right. You know, our students here will have the what I say is luxury of receiving this high quality education from the University of Minnesota Medical School. And so the curriculum across all three of our campuses will be the same. And then what we have to offer here is the, what I like to say is the sprinkles on top, the flavoring on top, right?
Yeah.
Which is really that that awareness, that understanding of what it means to practice in a rural setting, to deliver rural care, to take care of a rural population and meet the needs in just a different way than you can or than you do in an urban setting.
You did this in Duluth years ago in the 70s. So you had a little bit of a roadmap to look at, right, to set this up?
That's exactly right. We are so grateful for our Duluth partners and all of the incredible work that they've been doing to help support rural Minnesota and really rural care across the country as their students have gone out to do the same. And what we found is that, you know, the Duluth campus is doing this great work and we're still running into these shortages.
Sure.
And so,
sure,
you know, building this campus in this setting really allows what we're seeing is we're recruiting students from this area, some of which actually had not planned on going to medical school, but the build of the campus has made it a reality for them.
I think it's fantastic. I also love that it's in St. Cloud. I mean, part of the reality, and my roommate in college became a rural doctor in Wisconsin, but he got trained at the Medical College of Wisconsin in suburban Milwaukee. And
yeah,
there is something different about being out and really getting that clinical experience in what will be your future home, because it's not for everybody. So I think it's pretty exciting for St. Cloud.
Oh, I agree. And I just cannot wait to see what these students can do. You know, we have students who are passionate about this mission,
yeah,
who are extremely bright, and we can have all the plans in place. But what we know is that altruism that the students bring to our communities will provide even greater visioning and yeah, innovation than we can even imagine right now.
It's really great. I'm glad you had some time to spend with us today, Dr. Jill Lansbury. Kick their butts, though. All right. We want it. We can't make it soft. They got it. We want the best doctor. So I'm sure you're gonna trade them out there.
They are going to be fantastic. I have no doubt.
Jill sounds too nice. I don't know. Do you have like a tough side, Jill? Can you really unload?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, and again, remember, we're recruiting rural students, and so they kind of inherently come with that skill set.
Yeah,
so.
That's fair. They're not as soft as us city boys. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that.
That's what I heard. Jill Lansbury, very good, from CentraCare. Really appreciate the time. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, it is 3:48. It is hot. Let's check in with the weather and the traffic, and when we come back, I saw Superman over the weekend. How much did it cost? Are movie tickets too expensive? We'll talk about that when we come back. I saw Superman this weekend with the kids. Well, not with both of the kids. With one of the kids and Alyssa, Seth and Alyssa. And it was great. It was great. I really like going to the theater. That's going to be one of the things, kind of in the empty nester era, I enjoy the sound, the screen. And at the Mann Theater I went to see Superman, they sort of kept us out of the theater until the actual start time.
Really?
Because the movie runs like 2 hours, but there's like a bit at the end of the credits, not like a mid-credit bit.
No, post-credit scene?
All the way at the end. So people stay in the theater until the end. So I think they're maybe trying to maximize.
Ah.
So they keep you out so they can quick clean it up and then you go. So I get in there at 2:30. There were like 2 minutes of commercials and then boom. No trailer.
No trailers?
No trailer.
Wow.
I think it cost $12 or $13 for the ticket.
Per ticket?
Per ticket.
I mean, that's not horribly obnoxious.
I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
I don't know how much we think this stuff is supposed to cost.
I don't think it's the tickets that they get you on. It's the concessions. That's where they really gouge you.
AMC which AMC already has like a membership thing. One of our texters is saying that the monthly pass gives you upgrades on concessions. It's all pretty cool. Now they're going to do half price tickets on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Is the price what keeps people out of the theater more often? I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but it's the price of the ticket. It's the price of the whole
experience.
Engagement, right?
But because you don't have to have concessions.
No, you don't. But if you're a family of four and you got younger kids, you're going to walk and buy all that stuff and not get anything? I mean, that's...
My dad used to bring the candy.
Yeah, and he used to make you walk
in his jacket.
He'd make you walk uphill both ways to get there. And
my dad once took microwave popcorn, popped it up, shoved it in between his sweater and his jacket, and that is what we ate in the theater, and we liked it.
It's not really the experience anymore. But I think if you're just a person going, whatever, or a couple of people, but if you're going as a family, it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And you can do all the extras and you can do all the club memberships and all that kind of stuff. It's just a lot.
I think like adding in Tuesday and Wednesday, I think it's smart. And you can get a half off on a small popcorn soft drink too as part of that half price day. I don't know. It's cheaper than almost anything else now, isn't it? Cheaper than sports and concerts for sure.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mysteries Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.